Brian Murphy joins us from Boise, Idaho. He's with the Idaho Statesman, covers Boise State football and Boise State athletics. Brian, thanks for joining us here on Overtime.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, Brian, the rumors are out there. Chris Peterson to Arkansas. And your response is?
You know, I just don't see it. His almost his entire coaching career has been out west, and it just doesn't seem like the kind of move that he would make. But you know, stranger things have happened, I guess. We asked him about it today, and he sort of talked around it. Didn't ask specifically about Arkansas since his name's also come up in association with the Cal job. But he said those are all just rumors, and that you know, 99.9% of the time they're completely false, and he's not even sure how they all get started.
And in speaking with you earlier today, there is a clause in his contract where he has to notify the athletic director 24 hours before he's going to talk to another institution. Is that true?
Yeah, before, you know, and it's a strange provision in this contract, but it does say that the 24 hours before interviewing or negotiating with another college or professional team, he has to provide written notice to the athletic director. Certainly there are probably ways to work around that with agents and whatnot, but I talked to the athletic director on Saturday. He said he has not had any notice from Chris Peterson about any other jobs, including Arkansas, and that he seemed to be a little surprised, the AD did, that those rumors were out there.
How comfortable is he with Boise State and the fans there? I know he's been there for a while, and he's had a lot of success, especially, you know, in big games and being able to win 9-10 games every year. Is everybody there still very comfortable with him and excited that he's the coach?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you know, maybe even more than the other coaches. You know, Dan Hawkins left for Colorado and Dirk for Arizona State, and Houston Nutt left for Arkansas. I think Pete, you know, by virtue of the two Fiesta Bowl titles, and I think also by virtue of sort of his personality, I think he's more beloved in Boise than any of those guys were. I think if Boise State were to lose him, you know, it would be a big blow to the community. I think they've really embraced Chris Peterson, and I think he's embraced it back. The thing, you know, about Pete is that he's always said, as long as this program is doing what I think it needs to do to keep us competitive, that I'm content here. And you know, if you look at Boise State Stadium, they've added luxury boxes and Sky Club and all that stuff. They've built an indoor practice facility right now. They're in the middle of a $25 million football complex, which I know by SEC standards probably isn't much, but it's a huge deal out here. You know, his assistant salary pool continues to rise. In fact, it's better than a lot of Pac-12 places. His salary is now over $2 million. So, you know, Boise State's shown a real commitment to, you know, whatever Peterson wants, whatever he thinks he needs to be competitive, they've found a way to get it done.
Now, Brian, it was rumored last week that Boise State, San Diego State, and BYU have had conversations with Mountain West membership about the possibility of returning to the league and not joining the Big East. Is that true? Is Boise State thinking about that? And Chris Peterson, does he like the fact that he's about to have to travel halfway across the country to play conference games?
Well, a couple things. One, you know, Boise State's president has denied those kind of conversations have taken place. I think there's been some informal talks about it, particularly if the Big East falls apart or the television contract isn't, you know, what it's kind of cracked up to be. That being said, I think they are pretty committed to the Big East. They like it from an exposure standpoint. They like it from a money standpoint. I think they, you know, obviously the AQ for next year is a big deal. I can promise you this, Boise State would not be going to the Big East if Chris Peterson wasn't 100% on board with that decision. He has that kind of power, that kind of clout in the athletic department. And I think he sees it as a good thing. I mean, you know, the trips certainly are a factor, but Boise State is pretty used to that. I mean, they played in a league with Hawaii. They played in a league with Louisiana Tech. I mean, the trips are something they've had to do as a member of the WAC and as a member of the Mountain West. They charter everywhere so they can get home. You know, instead of a 2.5-hour flight, it may be a 4-hour flight. Chris Peterson has been on board with that move all along. Now, if the Big East, you know, crumbles and Louisville and Connecticut and Cincinnati all leave and the television money's not there or the basketball schools, you know, go off in another direction, then I think you will see Boise State have those conversations with the Mountain West.
Yeah, you saw West Virginia this year change and go to the Big 12, and their long flights. I guess they weren't used to it as much, and they didn't have the type of success, and I thought they had just as much talent as they did last year. How does that hurt recruiting? Because it has to be tough, you know, as being Boise State, to get some of the better recruits in, but it helped that y'all were kind of playing those teams in your area. I know you said you played at Hawaii and Louisiana Tech, but now that how hard is it going to be to recruit the Californias and out west when you know you're going back east to play a lot of these teams?
Yeah, I think that's one reason why it's kind of important that they get this sort of western division. Boise State's primary recruiting areas are Southern California and Northern California to a certain degree, and then Texas. I mean, they have a lot of kids from Texas. Now they're going to be playing in a league and in a division with Houston and SMU. Both the Dallas and Houston areas are areas they go to a lot with this coaching staff. They still have San Diego State on the schedule and in their division, and they're trying to schedule games in the west for non-conference. They have a game with BYU scheduled annually. They have Washington State, Oregon State are all on the schedule. They just added a series with Utah State. So they're trying to play their non-conference games out west, I think for a fan standpoint as well as a recruiting standpoint. But the two areas where they're really focused, obviously in the state of Idaho, which does produce, you know, more players than you'd think. But they really go into California hard and Texas hard, and they in the Big East West, they'll be able to go to both of those places every year.
Brian, let me just add the
other thing is they've started to get kids out of Florida. They've got a quarterback out of Florida. They've got a couple corners out of Florida. And now they're going to a league that has both South and Central Florida. They think they may be able to grab a couple more kids out of that talent-rich state.
Brian, how's the health of his son?
Yeah, I see that all the time. It's not an issue. Obviously, his youngest son had a cancer scare. He had cancer. There's no other way to put it. He had cancer when he was a child, and I see him all the time. The kid's 100% healthy. I think he still has to go for cancer checkups, as any cancer survivor would have to do. But, you know, I read a lot of reports that his son is gravely ill, and then I see him, and he looks fine. He's in good health. Cancer is beaten. But, you know, as with any cancer survivor, they keep tabs on it and make sure that there's not a reoccurrence.
Brian, I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you ever see him leaving Boise State?
I could see him leaving Boise State. I can't see him leaving Boise State for an SEC job or a Big Ten job. I would think that a Pac-12 job, the right Pac-12 job, might lure him away from here. And a lot of people have talked about Oregon. That's where he spent a lot of time as an assistant coach. I know he has a relationship with Phil Knight, and that's where he was when his young son had cancer. And I know the people at Oregon were really good to him, so that's a place I could see him eventually getting to. He turned down Stanford, and after Jim Harbaugh left, and that was a place that I thought sort of met his standard, ideal academic side, a place with a real national reputation where you can recruit to. I think I thought that was a good fit for him, and he turned them down. So and they would have had Andrew Luck for another year. So it's really hard for me to envision, Pearson leaving for a job in the SEC or the ACC or the Big Ten. I think if he left for a job, it would have to be the right West Coast.
I agree with you. I think Oregon, you look and you said he has past relationship there. That's about the only place I see Pearson going, because Chip Kelly has made it known that he wants an NFL job. I could see him going to Oregon. If he doesn't go to Oregon, I think he stays at Boise State.
Yeah, I mean, he really talks about the lifestyle here, how he can be out on his boat in 20 minutes, out on a lake. And if you look at the Pac-12, they're in Seattle and Los Angeles and San Francisco. There's not a lot of lifestyle places that fit, but Oregon, I think, is a place that would fit for both the lifestyle and keep him out west.
What about Boulder, Colorado?
I'd be surprised if they made a run at him, given their history with Dan Hawkins.
Yeah.
And after that press conference today, I guess I'd be surprised that whoever takes that job.
Exactly.
I think the problem with that job, as far as Chris Pearson is concerned, is the commitment to win. He's a guy who likes to win, and he wants to win. And I'm not sure in Boulder they have that commitment to winning, to competing at the highest level of the Pac-12 that maybe an Oregon or a USC would have.
Yeah, since Cordell Stewart and Rashawn Salaam. Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
It's been a long time since they were good. So.
Right. Yeah. Hey, Brian, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for your time. And if things fire up, we'll call you back and have you back on.
Sure, I appreciate it.